small personality carry on with us. Good morning. Okay, we're all here, right? Okay. Good evening. All right, well, on the request of a very good friend, am I going to say his name in case you haunt him later?
Good evening, Justin.
Who's read 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Hands up. Who has 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Wow.
That's a big fail right there. Yeah, but you're supposed to read it. There are important things you can learn from this Srimad Bhagavatam.
I think people are going to keep moving.
And
I'm going to keep it down.
Yeah.
In this 5th canto, it talks about our universe, where we live.
To the front.
It talks about different inhabitants in different dimensions, different parts of the universe.
Sorry.
And today we're going to go to King Purusha. King Purusha is where some of the Bhagavatas live. In the pastime of Maharaj, you see Hanuman is there. Hanuman was King Purusha. There are two words. There are King Naras and there are King Purusha. Both of them are Sanskrit words that mean, is it a man? Or what kind of man is it? King Purusha, what kind of man is it? Or King Nara, what kind of man is it? So they are human-like, but they have sometimes an animal feature. So you see like Garuda, who knows Garuda? Garuda, he has the body of a male, but he has the face of a bird. So he's called Vishnu's bird carrier. So he lives on Kinara. And Hanuman, he has the body of a human and the face of a Lumbu, special kind of monkey. So therefore, yeah, King Purusha, what kind of man is this? What kind of middle form is this? So there are different prayers offered in this 5th canto by different residents of these places. So when you go to one particular place in Sutta, Allah Maharaj is praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. He's praying that Lord Nrisimhadev will drive out our desires from material life. Because these are pure devotees of Krishna. So all the leaders of all these different planets, you see they actually pray very intense prayers to Krishna. And it's supposed to remind us, these prayers are supposed to actually wake us up from our slumber in the continual world. So I'll read this prayer. And remember, this is the prayer of the residents of King Purusha. So after this prayer is done, if I run away, please don't run after me. They're praying to Lord Ram, because today is the parents' day, we can honor their prayers and see what the acharyas have to say. So this is 5th canto, chapter 19, text number 5. Matya vataras tiha martya shikshanam raksho bhar dhaiva na kevalam vibho कुतो न्याता स्यात् रमता स्वात्मना सीता पितानि व्यसाना निश्वरस्य. So the residents of Kinara Loka says, it was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but to also teach mortal beings. Any mortal beings here? Two. So he's there to teach you. Is to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife. Any married people? Centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he subject to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? So these are the purports of the acharyas. I will just kind of skim through it. Yeah, actually, management, how long do I have? Because the kirtan
is 7:45.
Oh, okay. What is 7:45? When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one, to destroy the demons, and two, to protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal presence, but also teaches them that so that they will not fall down from devotional service. This is a very important point made here, that these appearance day that we practice is not that we come to the temple, we dress really nicely, we dance in the kirtan, we take Facebook pictures. Look, I was there on Lord Ram's appearance day. And Lord Ram isn't coming into the material world to make our material situation. Anybody here suffering? There's a lot of people who are not suffering. Fine. Well, I am. So for those of us who are suffering, if we can admit it, so Lord Ramachandra isn't here to just kind of, you know, it's okay, it's alright, I don't suffer so much. Look, I'm God, I'm here for you. No, he's here to teach us particular lessons. And normally it is said in India that the mother-in-law, so when a girl gets married, she goes to the house of the husband. And sometimes because she's far away from her own home, she might feel uncomfortable. So the mother-in-law, in order to make her, you know, not want to run away and leave her son immediately because divorce wasn't, you know, smiled upon at that time. So she would teach the daughter-in-law by chastising her own daughter, right? So then if the daughter-in-law was intelligent, she would see, oh, my mother-in-law doesn't like this happening, my mother-in-law doesn't like that happening, etc. So Lord Krishna, when he comes in his different incarnations, he performs his pastimes, and these pastimes are very instructive, one way or the other. And they're instructive so that we can learn from them and see what the material nature is like. And from there, we follow the footsteps of the Lord. And Krishna uses his very, very intimate devotees to play these pastimes. He doesn't just get any Joe Smo off the street. As you see here, in the story of Lord Ramachandra, he went through great difficulty because the love of his life, Sita, the goddess of fortune, she was stolen from him. She was stolen from him. This is the goddess of fortune, just so we keep things into perspective. Anybody here who's married to a goddess of fortune? Are you going to sit there to their husbands? Anybody here who's married to a goddess of fortune? Okay, this is Srimad Bhagavatam confirming that when you get home tonight, there will be some discomfort. Just so you know. Okay. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. Like when you get home tonight, your wife will yell at you for not saying she's a goddess of fortune. Kripadas, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kripadas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, or who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is the concession for sex life. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. When I was six, I told my mother that I wanted to become a monk. And she said, well, they don't let six-year-olds into the monastery, so wait till you're a little older. At this time, wait till you're 13. So I grew up, and when I was 13, I said, Mom, I think I want to have a kid. I want to be a father. And she said, let me tell you something. This is one lesson I learned from my mother until this day. That's why I'm a monk, actually. She said, the same S that spells sex The same Esther spells sweet. When you have to raise children, it spells I-T-T-Y. You can put the other, the first two letters before. It begins with the S also. S-H. So I said, okay, good point. I don't want to suffer, so I'm not going to raise kids. And Lord Ramachandra is showing this to us. Those who have read the Ramayana, you see how Sita was, you know, let go of by the Lord simply because Ramachandra heard some washerman speak about him unfavorably. But to behave ideally, that if I am the king, if I am looked up to as a leader, and if I don't act properly, then what's going to happen, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, all the world will follow my path. And when they follow my path, then everything will be put to ruination, and I'll be the cause of it. So Lord Ramachandra, he showed how an ideal person is going to act. Although there may be some difficulty, Sri Prabhupada says here. Another aspect of the Lord's instruction is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow religious principles and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the principle of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Keyword, dutiful. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. On behalf of Lord Ramachandra, I mean, so many monkeys died, so many people died. Such a huge war ensued simply because he lost his wife. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. And even that, Lord Ramachandra, he provided all protection. He was in the forest when he went out to find his golden deer. Bharat put some mantra around the house. And still, Sita wasn't protected. Still. This is the nature of the material realm. There's no protection here whatsoever. So we're going to go into the why Lord Ramachandra is instructing us. There may be some suffering because of this duty, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty, we've said duty one three times now, of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this, what's the word? Duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of Sitas from his pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. There's a lot more to know, but I have this cool toy here, so I put some notes in it. So the point we're trying to make here is that we come to these spiritual festivals in the association of devotees to remind ourselves that, number one, we're not these bodies. You're a spirit soul entangled in matter. And when we come to understand Krishna consciousness, what this whole Krishna consciousness movement is about, we understand that prema pumartha bhavan, the highest goal, is to get back to the spiritual realm and re-engage in our loving activities with the Supreme Person. So the warning is given especially to married people because, as we see in this room, there are maybe, five celibate mothers. One, two, three, about five or six. The rest, you have some relationship with woman, family, something. So this is the most difficult thing to do. And so therefore, when one tries to accept the spiritual path and you understand that, okay, I cannot strictly follow, you know, and just go straight back to Godhead, so I need some help along the way. Okay, you take a wife, you take a husband. But we shouldn't take a wife or a husband and then remain in the spiritual, I mean, in the material world. That is called Griha Bedi. In India, the bulls, they're tied by the noses here, and they're tied to this one stick, and they go around the stick, and in this way they either help produce water or different chores that needs to be done. So this is called a Bedi. This guy is tied by the navel string, by the rope. In college circles in America, they call that something else. Ripped. Same thing. So we shouldn't take family life in the spiritual context to try to just better our material position. This is what Lord Ramachandra is really showing. That one should act as a matter of duty while he's in that family. And duty is very interesting because in due course of time, if we act properly according to duty, to Dharma, then we will get Artha. Whatever we're looking for in family life, we will get. We'll get it to the fullest extent. But duty is also very cumbersome. Duty can be very painful sometimes. For example, the acharyas explain that for this concession, just because you desire to have sex life, your duty as a householder is to support the other three ashrams. There are four ashrams in the one ashram dharma system. What are they? Do you mind? Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. Only one of those ashram you have the concession for sex life. This is the Grihastha ashram. And to pay for that concession, the Grihastha is supposed to then support the other three ashrams. And the Grihastha is up for doing that? Depends on. What, three out of the whole room of 99% Grihasthas? Come on. So the Grihastha is meant to take care of these other three ashrams. This is the price you have to pay. Why? Because if you don't do that duty, you're not reminded, you don't keep yourself in tune with the fact that you actually don't belong in this material world. And if you don't do your duty, do you know what happens? Next life, the wife comes back as the husband. Husband comes in with his wife, you nag each other again and again and again and again and again. And it happens for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So we have to be very serious when we come to understand these different pastimes of Krishna. And we have to try to develop our relationship with Krishna through duty. Through duty. This is a very, very important point, this sense of duty. The devotee's duty in the material world is number one, to relieve the headache of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see there, we have Lord Ramachandra, and he has a huge headache on his head, Sita has been stolen. So Hanuman takes it upon himself to go and retrieve Mother Sita for Lord Ramachandra. And the whole history is there. As a matter of duty. And as Ravana is taking Mother Sita, then Jatayu, he's a vulture, he sees the whole scene happening, and he tries to attack also Ravana. Why are you taking the goddess of fortune? Why are you taking her away? And in this way, he's killed. So these two entities go to show that if we have a human form of life and we don't use it properly, then we're less than monkeys and we're less than vultures. Because Lord Ramachandra used a whole band of monkeys to conquer Lanka. A vulture tried to help in Lord Ramachandra's case. You don't hear much about the humans in the whole Ramayana. It doesn't surround the monkeys and the vulture. Why you don't hear about it? Because Maya Pradam Nayita Kipshitam Anumadam. We're busy chasing after dangling carrots. Lord Ramachandra needs something. Oh, poor Sita, oh my God. Oh, how did it happen to her? That will never happen to me. So we keep ourselves in these illusions. These illusions that whatever is happening over there will never happen to me. Maharaj Yudhisthira says this is the most amazing thing, this is the most wonderful thing. And every day people see that other people are dying, but nobody thinks, oh, I'm going to die one day. He goes on making plans, doing so many different things, and then eventually death comes in place again. So we shouldn't be in illusion. This is why you don't see many humans in Lord Ram's class, because we're all spaced out. Completely spaced out. So the purpose of these lectures is to wake us up. The purpose of these verses is to wake us up so that we understand why we come here. It's a festival, yes, Lord Ramachandra has come. But if we don't take advantage of the main reason Lord Ramachandra has come, which is to invite us back to the spiritual world, then we're such losers. Huge losers. Huge losers. Who wants to be a loser?
Mommy!
Who wants to be a winner?
Me!
Who's willing to grab an army, beginning from right now, go out there and try to conquer Mother Sita for Ramachandra?
Mommy!
Sure. You sure you're losing for now? She's already conquered Ramachandra. But this is a very important point, because Lord Ramachandra, in this age of Kali, Tanta Sudusita Sureshita Raja Lakshmi, and he has given up, again, the spiritual world, just how Lord Ramachandra, he gave up Mother Sita. Sudusita Sureshita Raja Lakshmi, the greatest goddess of fortune. Dhamnishta Adivajasata Nagadharami. On the order of his father, he left and went to the forest. But also, just by the words of this low-class Aryan, he seduced and he left his wife. So Mahaprabhu has left the spiritual world, and he has come into this Aranya, this material forest. Huh? And he's chasing after us. Mayamriyam dayita ishitam anvidam. He's chasing after us, who are chasing after illusory energy. You look at all the songs of the Acharyas. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. So this we have to do. We have to wake up. So these literatures are there to teach us how to wake up, when to wake up, why to wake up. Everybody here has Bhagavad Gita? Who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita? Anybody without Bhagavad Gita? Don't lie.
Okay.
You're sitting in front of Krishna. Anyway, how many people are reading Bhagavad Gita? There's the next question. So I encourage more people to read Bhagavad Gita to understand the whys. Why we're in the material world. What is the nature of this place? How we can get out of it. And while we are here, the short time we want to stay here, how we can deal with the material world. So I have another maybe 7 to 10 minutes. I don't want to continue talking badly. So I thank you for your time. I'll try to entertain a question or a few. Any questions? Or a few? Yes, sir.
In this incarnation of the Lord of Ram Spirit, and that was the first time I had heard where you knew, yeah, you brought his three brothers, right? And that's the first time that screen appeared with four. Is there a particular reason for that?
Because he wanted to. He's the independent supreme personality of Godhead. Sometimes he comes from four, sometimes he comes from five, Panchatattva Mukham Krishna. Sometimes he brings the whole spiritual world down with him. Sometimes he comes from Mahavishnu and every other avatar. That's called Krishna. When Krishna comes to the material world, every incarnation comes with him. That's like unlimited, nana avatar. So four is just a tiny number of any question pertaining to the lecture, pertaining to how we can get out of the illusion? Yes.
So, when you just show that, like, the world
innocence was she asked, was it Krishna's will? Was it Ram's will that Sita was going to be kidnapped by Ravana? So just like you have an expert writer, he's going to write a book and he has a whole plot and everything. And he has the plot, he has the climax, he has the resolution, he has the antagonist, and he has the protagonist. So all of this Krishna is planning as his pastime. Therefore, he requires his expert devotees to play with him. Like if there is a play here in Chicago, Chicago is known for, you know, opera and Broadway stuff. So if there's a play here, people go for auditions and they choose the best person. You can really do the job well. So Krishna also does that. He chooses his best people who will play the role so well that the lakshar se muda dusa, us who are not intelligent, we don't understand what's going on. So Sri Prabhupada is saying earlier, there's no reason for Lord Ramachandra to actually lament. But he's doing all of this to teach us a lesson. And this material world, this is the nature of the material world. If you put your heart into matter too much, it will disappoint you in the end. So Lord Ramachandra, his whole heart and soul was Sita. Because of Sita, he went through so much difficulty. So he's teaching us that. So yes, it's his will. Because his will is he wants us to come back to the spiritual world more than we want to go. So he has to do something in such a way that we can become attracted to these pastimes so that we can actually appreciate something on our level. So he came as a human being. Any human beings in here? So we can all relate to Lord Ramachandra because he's a human being. So if we relate to him, relating is not just relating and going, wow, that was pretty cool. No, relating also means to follow his example. That Lord Ramachandra is in this situation, this is what he did. If I'm ever in this situation where I feel I'm going to be entangled, this is what I'll do also. Does that answer your question? JJ.
If I'm trying to swim in the river, the force of the current pushes me the other direction. Even though I'm trying to swim against the current, the force is very strong, I get pushed the other direction. So similarly, in our life, although we get these messages, to maintain cognition of it when we go out into our lives, in the force of our life is kind of pushing us into various obligations, which tend to obscure our cognition of these type of messages. And it just, you know, I just take it as a matter of fact, I may appreciate the breakthrough, then I'm going to go out, the force of my obligations cover me again. So how does one maintain cognition and at the same time not become overwhelmed by it?
For a man, it would be good to have a wife who will keep it in your head all the time. Remember what that guy said on Saturday? The wrong movie? So if you have a wife who's nagging you all the time, then you realize, yes, the material world is actually such a place he was talking about. But no, this is a fact. The fact is that the living entity is really, really deep in illusion. We're really covered by the illusory energy. And so sometimes we hear such messages, or as Charaka Pandit says, that at a funeral, everybody becomes renounced. Everybody gets this kind of deep, solemn feeling like, yes, you know, life is very short, life is very precious. And then what happens, especially in the Western world, after the funeral, you go to the, it's called the repast or something, and everybody gets drunk. See you later, dead person. So we're easy to forget, very easy to forget. Therefore, we have to hear the messages of Godhead constantly. But we have to force ourselves constantly. I have a, you know, we're doing door-to-door book distribution nowadays, especially in San Jose and other parts of America. I have a proposal. And the brahmacharis can also remind the grihasthas. Here's what we're going to do. So expect this at your house, coming soon to a house near you. We're going to, every brahmachari is going to choose a section of Chicago where you live, and we're going to nag you. And we're going to put a price to it. We're here, we would like some of you dhoti, we're like $500, we're like this and that. And you have to give it out of duty. So this will remind you. These are things that need that actually need to happen. The point is, these things need to happen because when they happen, it reminds us, oh yes, if I act out of duty, I will learn renunciation through wisdom. And anything I try to keep, eventually I will lose. Anything I try to keep, eventually I will lose. So therefore, let me offer it to Krishna. Because if I offer it to Krishna, not only will I gain Krishna, I'll gain so much more. So who's up for brahmacharya knocking at their doors? We don't tell you when we're coming, nothing, we just... I will, Mataji. Is that good? That's okay? What do you think, Jai Jagannath? Like the idea? Good. This is going to be the new encouraging Vihastas program. Does that answer your question? We really have to be kicked over and 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 over. And still some of us don't get it. Still some of us don't get it. Therefore, what is that? Anardo Vasanam Saksha. All of our miseries are completely superfluous to us. And they can be at once stopped by this process of bhakti yoga. Very simple process. Hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. Chant about Krishna. Ram Navami shouldn't be the only day, or Sunday feast shouldn't be the only day when the temple is packed. You should come every day. You should come every day. If you live close by, leave for work 10 minutes early. So that for 1 or 2 minutes you just sneak your head into the temple and see Krishna. See what difference it does to your days. And if you don't live close by, if you live by other devotees, have lunch and dinner together, all these different things. Take the association of devotees, because in the association of devotees, somebody will remind somebody else that we don't belong here. We have to get out. This is very, very important. But we have the free will, we're independent. Krishna is not going to interfere with that. So we can do as we like, in one sense, or so we think. Remember, you're in the material world, so nobody actually does as they like. It's like going to an Italian restaurant, you know? And all you can order is Italian food. That's what the menu is like. So the material world, or you're going to get here, is what the material world has to offer. But we're so smart, we think, I'm choosing. I'm making a choice. Why don't you want a Chinese food in the Italian restaurant? Now there's a choice. We don't have a choice in the material world. Right? Krishna says, dukalaya asasa. You're going to suffer, then it's going to stop, and then you're going to suffer again. This is the material world. Like Buddha said it, Jesus said it, Muhammad said it. It's nothing sectarian, just facts of material life. Something else? Yes?
We talked about duties here.
Duties.
Lord Ram has had duties towards his wife also, Sita.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought her back, but then just by words of a washman, he left her, okay? So there was a duty towards his wife, but a duty towards the kingdom where, you know, like, the people started talking about it. So there was a conflict in duties.
Because, number one, to deal with the first part, duty as a husband, if people are criticizing the king, but I'm completely attached, you know, and tied by the ways by my wife, a henpecked husband, then that's a bad example. Because the Vedic system is not that one stays a henpecked husband for the rest of his life. Somehow or other, we have to get out of married life. Therefore, the vana is the ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vana, prastha, and sannyas. In the Mahabharata, right there, it says Pancha Swanam Vanam Bhujaya. As soon as 50 is coming, you have to leave family life. Don't get stuck in the material realm. So either it will happen at 50, what if you die at 30? She'll live.
So what is for the woman?
Hmm?
What is for the woman? Like, for men, you know, you say that you need wife.
For the woman, therefore, the Vedic system is that if she has sons, her sons will take care of her, or she goes back to the father. Okay. But we see in viticulture, if even that wasn't available, then it came upon the responsibility of the king. And that culture can still be here because the knowledge is still here. But because in Kali Yuga we're so lazy, we're so mental, that we can't apply it. We're completely useless in Kali Yuga. For our very own self-realization is so hard. We can't even help ourselves. But the knowledge is still there. So those who are serious, they have to hear strongly and then act. So Lord Ramachandra was showing such a very, it wasn't, you know, wow, yeah, you left her. This is Sita. This is the goddess of fortune. You know, he didn't leave her, he left her and Lala and Kusha. But for a very high principle. Viticulture was made of people with principles. This Hare Krishna movement, if anybody has a pen and paper, write this class down. This is a class Sri Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan. In 1974, is on Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 642 or 624? 624. 6th canto, 2nd chapter, 4th verse. The verse begins, Yad Yad Achavati Shriyam. If you can find that verse, listen to that class. Srila Prabhupada also talked about Lord Ramachandra. And he says that we want ideal people in this movement. Ideal people. One of the duty of ideal people is to make sure that not only they are trained, but their children are also trained. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasamnanto Gurudam. You see in the Western countries, the parents take pride in sending their children to Ivy League school. My son went to Harvard, he went to Stanford, etc., etc. Vedic system, the parent was proud that my son went to Gurukul. He can control his senses. He's not mental in front of PlayStation 24/7. But if he's kept at home, nurtured by the mother and father, he doesn't learn how to take responsibility. Very, very, very important. That's also a duty one must perform. There's also a huge duty one must perform. And if you understand something about karma, if you don't perform it, you're going to come back in the next life and it's not going to be done for you. So we perform our duties so that if we happen to stay in the material world, somebody will help us out. One last thing, I was talking to one devotee last week. It was some very amazing point about duty. When he first got Srila Prabhupada's books, he was in high school. And he was saying that he really resonated with the philosophy. I want to live my life like this. But then here I'm in high school and I'm going to go to college and I have all these responsibilities. And his proposition was that if I can't live this strict life as a devotee, I should help somebody else who wants to live that life as a devotee. Why? So that if I can be the one doing it now, at least in my next life, somebody else will help me. This is called intelligence. I travel around the world and I meet so many young people who would love to experience Krishna consciousness. Do you know what's stopping them nowadays? Anybody can guess? Student loans. So you get this big dream and you're going to be a great sudra and work for that great company. Take your degree to different, please hire me. So you work, we'll give you a student loan of such and such thousands of dollars. Then they get out of college, no jobs available. How to pay back. So much stress. And you tell such a person, hey, try out spiritual life. Learn to control the mind and senses. It's very difficult to conceive such a thing. So for those of you who have that responsibility, who have jobs and everything, if you can see it within yourself, to actually learn to sponsor these type of people who want to learn spiritual life, take that burden off of them. That mercy you will get from Lord Ram. That somebody wanted to learn about me, and you took that time. Although you know nothing about the person, you took the time to help. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood. Bhuvi Grinanti Ye Bhuvi Dhaji. Those most magnanimous people who can forget about themselves, who can forget about what I need today to focus on somebody else. How can I serve you? This is the greatest service we can do to the youth today. Help them, encourage them to learn Krishna consciousness. Because the material world, especially in the Western world, in case you haven't noticed, is not going upwards, it's going downwards. So if you want to be the proud father or mother of a kid who's mental, fried, and psychologically disturbed, etc., 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 please send them to school. Even Hiranya Kashipu, he was so smart. He was so smart. He tried everything else first. He tried to kill his son, he tried to throw him over mountains, he tried to do all kinds of things. But none of that worked. Then he sent him to school. This is Hiranya Kashipu, the greatest demon of our time. Even he was smart. I'm not going to send my kid to school. First, we're going to do this, and then none of that went okay in school. But here we are, we're sending them wholesale. Come on, son, go get an education. Real education means, what is matter, what is spirit? How can I distinguish both of them? That's real education. How can I get out of this material realm? I'm way out of time. I thank you so much for listening. Hopefully I didn't offend any parents or relatives. And if I did, it was on behalf of the Lord Ram. So hopefully you can bless me. Hare Krishna.